From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, February 9th, 2017. And on this day, controversy over a planned speaker at the University of Southern Maine, and why a new report finds Maine's rate of food insecurity is actually increasing. We'll have those stories in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
At the top of the news today in Maine is the storm that has brought snow, wind, and rugged driving to the state, especially to coastal sections. Ed Morin has the details.
The familiar sound of plows today as a nor'easter brings dry, powdery snow to the state with highest totals along the coast. Today's storm has made for some hazardous driving with several crashes reported on the Maine Turnpike. The speed limit along the toll highway was reduced to 45 miles per hour and to 40 on I-295. Maine Department of Transportation spokesman Ted Talbot.
This is an all-snow event and very light that helps with plowing. But, of course, with the light snow and with the wind blowing, you have that reduced visibility. So please be careful, anyone who's on the road today, if you have to be, allow a whole lot of extra time.
Things should be winding down in western Maine between 7 and 10 o'clock. Bangor could see some improvements by 9 or 10 o'clock, with coastal downy sections hanging on until midnight or a little later. The storm should pretty well be over for the entire state by sunrise. As far as projected totals are concerned, 12 to 18 inches in southern York County, at least a foot in Portland over to Bar Harbor and points down east, moving away from the coast, folks in Lewiston, Auburn, and over to Augusta should expect 8 to 12 inches, 4 to 8 inches in the western foothills, 6 to 10 inches in Bangor and northern Washington County, with 2 to 4 inches in Aroostook County. Forecasters say there's the potential that an even stronger storm will hit Maine Sunday night into Monday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
A group of students at the University of Southern Maine is calling for the cancellation of a planned speech by a conservative Maine lawmaker. But USM's president says the speech should go forward. Fred Bever reports.
Representative Lawrence Lockman, an Amherst Republican, can be provocative. 2 years ago, he said he regretted statements he'd made decades earlier that had been unearthed by a liberal blogger. In one of those, he equated a woman's right to an abortion to a man's right to commit rape. In another, he called homosexual sex a, quote, depraved crime against humanity. More recently, Lockman's been an outspoken voice for restrictions on immigration to the U.S. and for restricting welfare benefits for immigrants. At the request of a conservative student union, the USM chapter of Young Americans for Freedom, Lockman will deliver a speech next week titled Alien Invasion, Fixing the Immigrant Crisis, on the Portland campus.
As long as we have a single veteran who's not getting the very best care we can provide, or a single elderly or disabled Mainer who has lived here and worked here and paid taxes here all their lives on a wait list for needed services, I'm sorry. Non-citizens shouldn't be getting any public benefits, and certainly not anybody who's in the country illegally. We just have to set priorities.
But another student group, whose members couldn't be reached for comment, is calling on the university to cancel the event. A post on a website called Students for USM Future says Lockman has a history of trying to marginalize vulnerable groups. It goes on to say, quote, USM will not serve as yet another platform for these proponents of virulent hate speech.
Right now, there's a radical leftist group on campus that is trying to silence us.
Benjamin Bouger is president of the Young Americans for Freedom campus chapter. He's also a former member of the Student Senate. He stepped down in November after he was criticized for failing to report the discovery of anti-Muslim graffiti found in a student government office. Bouger says the call to bar Lockman's speech demonstrates how intolerant progressives can be.
It shows the hypocrisy of the left. They say be inclusive, be tolerant, but as long as it fits our agenda and our message.
But Bouger does have the blessing of USM President Glenn Cummings, a former Democratic Speaker of the Maine House and member of the Obama administration, who says Lockman won't be locked out.
Representative Lochman's views are repugnant to many people in the state, and understandably, given some of the things that he has said. But shutting down the rights to free speech is never the answer.
The USM administration says Young Americans for Freedom will have to pay for extra security at the Portland events, while Lochman's supporters and opponents will be expected to keep their disagreements civil. Mohammed Humza Khan, president of the student body, says security is a concern, but he trusts that the organizers and administration will make sure safety is maintained. Khan says he understands that some students are frightened by Lochman's views.
That I think we have to allow him on campus because it's freedom of speech, and you got to allow anyone who wants to come to speak. You know, it's not something that can kind of manage.
A naturalized citizen of Pakistani origin, Khan says he strongly disagrees with what he knows of Lochman's views, but he says he won't be joining any protests. Instead, he plans to attend Lochman's speech and listen. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Nationally, about 14% of the population is considered food insecure, and the numbers are on the decline, but not so in Maine, where nearly 16% of households lack reliable access to food. A new study commissioned by the Preble Street Maine Hunger Initiative and Good Shepherd Food Bank finds recent policy changes have deepened hunger in the state. Patty White reports.
Elton Thornhill says he's always hungry.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I only had pasta and sauce. That was it.
One meal?
That was it. One big meal. Just some pasta and sauce. Simple enough.
A retired Navy veteran who lives in Rockland, Thornhill says he's been eating one meal a day for the past 2 years. He relies on food pantries to get by ever since his SNAP benefits, or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, ended.
Because they considered me an able body, and so they only put me on for the 3-month time limit period unless I was able to volunteer or had part-time work.
Thornhill says he recently completed machinist and welding certification, but no one wants to hire him part-time, which is all he can manage because of a bad back, as well as PTSD and bipolar disorder. He's also had difficulty finding volunteer work, which is a requirement to stay on SNAP benefits.
Volunteering, it's very spontaneous. It's one of those things they don't need volunteers every day, like say the soup kitchen or at the Salvation Army or even at Goodwill. You know, they don't always need volunteers, so it's not like I have a regular 20-hour volunteer thing.
Thornhill is among the people across Maine who, according to Preble Street and the Good Shepherd Food Bank, are lining up in ever-increasing numbers at food pantries' doors. The two organizations worked with the University of Southern Maine to survey food pantry clients. Preble Street's Jan Bindus-Tenney says of the 2,000 people interviewed,
87% of households that we talk to at food pantries contain a child, a senior, or a person with a disability.
About the same number, she says, rely on food pantries at least once a month, and nearly 60% used food pantries more in 2016 compared to the year prior. The director of the Good Shepherd Food Bank, Kristen Maley, says the study findings show that recent policy changes to SNAP benefits, such as the 3-month time limit as well as an asset test, may have been intended to help people thrive, but
the result is that losing access to SNAP does not then translate to people getting jobs, and instead these people are at the food pantry lines, which actually prevents them from being able to get jobs.
As the Maine legislature considers proposals that seek to place further restrictions on safety net programs, Maley hopes lawmakers will actually strengthen them and roll back the recent changes.
And instead look at programs such as the job training programs that people want to be able to get into, but there are long wait lists, they can't always get to them.
A request for comment from Maine's Department of Health and Human Services was not returned. State offices closed early on Thursday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, February 9th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.